The sermon series that we've been engaging in is inspired by a book by Morgan Guyton, a young United Methodist pastor, and his book is called How Jesus Saves the World from Us, 12 Antidotes to Toxic Christianity. I've titled this series, How We Are Christian. Last week we talked about how we love God, and this week we're going to look at how we love people. Let's pray as we begin. God, as we hear our scripture read and as it's proclaimed, would you speak to us through the words, speak to us through your presence. Open our ears so we might hear, free us from distractions within us and around us so we might listen. Open our minds, give us a glimpse of the divine. And God, would you open our souls that we might be formed and changed and touched by your message. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. The theme of the chapter of Guyton's book, which inspired this particular sermon, is called Mercy, Not Sacrifice. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, Jesus says this, "Go and find what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." This phrase comes from the Old Testament prophet Hosea. Hosea is comparing the nation of Israel to an unfaithful wife. And on behalf of God, he says to the people, "I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me." Jesus uses this phrase about mercy, not sacrifice, twice in the Gospel of Matthew. The first time occurs when the religious leaders ask Jesus why he is choosing to eat with the tax collectors and other outcasts rather than eating with them, the religious leaders. The second time Jesus talks about mercy, not sacrifice, comes when the religious leaders are complaining because Jesus and the disciples are hungry and they broke grain to eat the wheat and they felt that they were violating the Sabbath law not to work. And in both cases, Jesus said, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Mercy. Not sacrifice. That feels good, doesn't it? Something about that just feels right and true. Guyton distinguishes between the two in this way. Sacrifice concerns obedience to a set of rules as a demonstration of our loyalty to God, whereas mercy concerns the cultivation of a heart that can be moved with compassion. Now, I want us to pause for a moment. We need to be careful here. A focus on mercy over sacrifice doesn't mean that rules are not important and should be abandoned, nor does it mean that it doesn't matter choices we make and how we live our lives. You see, rules and choices that create safety for us and other people, that cause us to respect other people and lead us deeper into healthy relationship with God and others, those are good rules, good actions. It is the rules and actions that cause hardship or bring about separation or exclusion that are the rules that are not good. It seems to me that sacrifice can be a hollow attempt to earn our way to God and to demand that others earn their way too. Whereas mercy is all about deepening relationships, about offering grace to other people, but also to ourselves. You see, when we focus on sacrifice in our faith living, that can lead us to feeling that we can earn the favor of God and others. And when we feel we can't earn it, then we really just feel hopeless. And when we do feel that we're earning the favor of God and others above other people, that can get us to feeling entitled. And then when things don't go our way, we can get bitter. A sacrifice-focused way of living makes it easy for us to have a sense of moral clarity, which usually means we're right, someone else is wrong. And it's easy to give us feelings of superiority, making us believe that we are somehow better than others and we are here to judge. But mercy, mercy is very different from that. You see, mercy, it does something powerful. It causes us to enter into relationship with other people, to empathize with them, to begin to understand them, to stand with them, for them. Mercy puts us in a place where we so deeply seek to understand and care for another person that our heart is wounded by anything that wounds another person, even if we don't understand or agree with that person. And you know what happens when we focus on mercy? Our moral clarity? Sometimes it becomes less clear when we lovingly care for the person in front of us. Well, all this brings us to today's scripture story about the prodigal. You know the story so well. A man has two sons. And the younger son asks for his share of his father's inheritance. And then he takes all the riches his father gives him and he runs off and he squanders it in wild and immoral living. Eventually, as is always the case, he runs out of money. And he has nothing left. In fact, he is so poor, so destitute, that he would love to eat the food that is given to the pigs. And so he decides that he is going to go back to his father and ask to become a servant, since his actions have clearly taken away his right to be treated as a son. And what happens? When the son comes back, does the father respond with an attitude of sacrifice, pointing out the rule-breaking, naming punishments, shaming, reluctant to let the younger son back home? Is that what happens in the story? Not at all. You see, this is a story about mercy. The father sees the son coming, and he probably sees the son coming because day after day, night after night, he's probably been watching, praying, yearning for that dear child to come home. His father sees him, and then he runs to him. And did you know that in biblical times for a man to run was a sign of disrespect? They'd never do that. But he ran to his son, and he embraces him. He is so happy that his son has back, that he gives him gifts, and he throws a feast. Now, this is not to say that there are no consequences for the younger son's actions and decisions. Certainly, there were. But that's not the focus here. The main focus in this story is on the relationship. The father was not going to let anything get in the way of loving his son. The father responded with mercy. But the story doesn't end there. When the older brother finds out the merciful way in which his father has welcomed his younger brother home, it makes him really angry. It makes him jealous. And so he punishes his father, his younger brother, himself by refusing to go into the house and joining in the celebration. And by doing this, the older son has shown great public disrespect to his father by breaking the rules of proper behavior. And so what does the father do in response to the elder son's belligerence? Does he respond out of a mindset of sacrifice? Does the father get angry at the older son, call him selfish and self-focused? Does he yell at him? Does he ignore him? No. Again, the father responds with mercy. He doesn't walk away toward the older son either. He moves toward him. He goes to where his son is. He listens to him, reasons with him, tries to reassure him. Two times, sons disobeyed. One by wasting money on immoral living, the other by thinking that his sacrifice, his adherence to the rules, gave him the right to judge and disrespect his father. Two times, the father chose mercy over sacrifice, chose relationship with his children. Maybe one day that older brother will seek to enter into the experience of his younger brother. Maybe one day the younger brother will seek to more deeply understand his older brother. And maybe one day both of the sons will seek to better understand their father's heart. What healing, what restoration might happen if they learn mercy. Let's stop for a moment here. I want us to go deeper into this scripture. I want us to get just a bit more personal. In what relationships in our lives do you and I need to learn mercy? As you look at your relationships, to whom are you responding in an attitude of sacrifice? And you need to turn to mercy. Turn toward that person. Living under a mindset of sacrifice, of earning our worth, can lead us to feel that if we do the right things, then God somehow owes us something. It can lead us to believe that we earn our favor, which leads us to arrogantly believe that maybe other people haven't earned God's favor or earned ours. When we live with this mindset of sacrifice, when we blow it and we mess up, it leads us to believe that we aren't okay and accepted as we are, and that leads us hopeless. But living under a mindset of mercy, it is so different. Mercy calls us to enter deeply into the messiness of relationships. It causes us to realize that we are messy people who are saved by grace. And then that allows us to have a lot more grace for other people's messiness. And it reminds us, even in those times when we really blow it, we are never far away from God, because God's grace, God's mercy always comes to us and embraces us. Mercy. It enables us to enter more fully into the experience of other people, and mercy enables us to more fully connect with God and ourselves. Well, how does mercy and this story about the prodigal relate to our lives today? Could it be that living in mercy calls us to see in each other a sister, a brother, a friend, rather than a Democrat or a Republican? Might that lead us away from quick judgments and condescending sound bites and call us to listen to each other and seek to better understand each other? Could it be that living in mercy calls us to focus less on labels like conservative or moderate, progressive or liberal, and focus more on our common identity as God's beloved? Won't that lead us to seek to find a way to live together and love together, even in the midst of our differences? And could it be that living in mercy calls us to see people with opposing mindsets and experiences, maybe like police and Black Lives Matter, to see such people not as enemies, not as something for which we need to take sides, but as beloved people who need healing and grace? And doesn't that lead us to mercy, compassion, and respect, even love for both? And could it be that living in mercy helps us when we serve a meal at a shelter or when we work at Ruby's Pantry? To not see it as something we do because we feel obligated to do it or because we're somehow better than the people we serve, but rather we do it as an opportunity to enter into relationship with other human beings and find God in them, and we realize that we need them as much as they need us. Could it be that living in mercy might mean making tough, even painful decisions, sometimes giving up our rights to benefit someone else and not feeling resentful about it, but instead finding the blessing that happens when we enter into other people's experiences and make life better for them? And finally, could it be? Is it possible that mercy causes us to hold our tongues when we feel ready to criticize or condemn or second guess and instead seek to understand other people's pain, needs, hearts, hopes, dreams, and offer friendship and a caring hand? One of the prayers that I pray most often is this: Lord, help me say that which needs to be said. And there are things we need to say. We need to stand up for truth. We need to stand up for people, for the least, the last, left behind. So, Lord, help me say that which needs to be said. But the second part, maybe even more important, help me refrain from saying that which doesn't need to be said. I wonder how many conflicts could be diffused, how many relationships could be restored if we refrain from saying that which didn't need to be said. Jesus says this, read it with me. Go and find what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Once again, go and find what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And so we go, and we enter into the messiness of relationship with others, and we listen, and we care, and we are changed. And that overwhelming need to be right is replaced with a deeper need to be in right relationship with God and other people. And when we find ourselves facing difference, even opposition, we don't turn from each other, close ourselves off to each other. Instead, like the prodigal father in today's story, we turn toward one another, run to each other, and welcome each other home, just like God does time and time and time again for us. Beloved ones in Christ, let's go into our homes and our schools, our workplaces and our communities. Let's go into the entire world and show what this means. God desires mercy, not sacrifice. This is what happens. Mercy. It restores broken relationships. It begins to heal injured hearts. It turns conflict into opportunities for understanding and transformation. It changes us, and through us changes the world. Beloved ones, go and live what this means. God desires mercy, not sacrifice. Mercy. Go and live mercy. Amen.